Hello and welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am an architect, alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for women architects and designers, as well as land stewards, property owners, visionary leaders who are eager and ready to birth the temples of the new earth, the sanctuaries that are here, that are meant to create healing, harmony, and anchor in the new frequencies that we require to unfold and to awaken our consciousness. Today, I want to be talking about the Sacred Blueprint design modality that I birthed quite a few years back. The first inspirations and intuitions about this modality were coming to me a few years before COVID hit the globe. I decided to embark on my own journey of creating a design practice and a mentorship practice based on this modality when COVID hit. So there was a bit of a buildup. I was receiving these transmissions from my spirit guides as well as my higher self. And my communion with Mother Earth and the land and the nature spirits. And they guided me to create this new process, this new design process for architects, designers, and property owners. Why did I receive this new transmission to create the Sacred Blueprint? Well, the Sacred Blueprint is very much in follows the new impulse, the new energy, the new wave of creation that actually we are all on and that we're moving into for in the new earth. So what is the new earth? The new earth is moving into a whole new consciousness, where humanity is moving into a new, whole new consciousness, whether we like it or not. And we are in this stage of awakening our consciousness. And this means that we are understanding the interconnectedness between all things. We are looking at things in a more holistic approach. Science, medicine, building, human psychology. I mean, all different realms of and fields are starting to understand that there is a greater connection between, all these parts. So, people are understanding, for example, that being in, an office, cooped up in an office all day in front of the computer, they're understanding that this is affecting, their health, for example, rather than looking at the body in a disconnected way and looking at an illness in a disconnected way. People are starting to understand, oh, right, my emotions and my feelings are affecting my health. Oh, right. My environment is affecting my health. Oh, right. My ancestral trauma is affecting my health. And this is not something new. The ancient healers knew about this. And many, many practitioners, traditional healers and doctors, I think about Chinese medicine doctors or, Sufi healers that heal with music. you know, they're all aware that there is this realm of energy, this energetic realm that is actually invisible to the physical eye, that is actually the start, one of the starting points to creating our circumstances, out creating form, creating illness versus health, creating really everything that we experience in the 3D world. And so we're stepping into this more holistic worldview, whether we like it or not. I mean, parts of us are kicking and screaming, entering into this more holistic worldview. But nevertheless, we are entering in. There are dark energies that are preventing us from entering into this more holistic worldview because they don't want us to have access to the whole information, right? They don't want us to have access to the truth. They don't want us to have access to the codes and keys that lie within our body wisdom and within the wisdom within the land and nature right at our fingertips to be able to create spaces and places that help advance humanity in a good and beautiful and true way. So the sacred blueprint is very much riding this new impulse, and it's a movement. It's a movement to reinvent the way that we practice architecture. I've practiced architecture for many years now. I ran my own studio here in Turkey before the Sacred Blueprint came to be, as well as worked in various offices, practices around the world. I was lucky, you know, and blessed to be able to start working and gaining practice at architecture offices at a young age in the middle of university. I went to the University of Waterloo in Canada, and that was a co-op program. That's where internship programs are integrated with the university curriculum. And so while we were studying, we would do, you know, 4 months of study and then do a 4 month co-op period in any office, wherever we wanted, as long as we got the job. And that went towards our credits for university. I think it's a great approach, great program, so that we're not only stuck in the kind of mental, right, learning and working on projects that are not, you know, you could say not real projects. Of course, they were real still. You know, there was many beautiful projects that the students that we all birthed there, some not so beautiful, but it's all part of the learning process. But we got a chance to work at various offices. So throughout my career in architecture, as I became more and more awake to the world of spirit, I mean, by the way, I felt pretty alone. I had a couple friends in university that heard me, understood me, that I could have conversations about, you know, more healing, holistic, organic architecture, as well as spirit-led architecture. But, you know, we were pretty, you know, small in number. And so towards the end of university, I visited different works of organic architecture around the world, architecture that's rooted in spirit, the Goethe Annum, various Waldorf schools. And it was wonderful to be able to travel and visit these spaces and places. And after the birth of my son, I started to meditate a lot more. I mean, I did start before, but I went more deep into esoteric studies. And so that started, you know, laying the foundations, the groundwork for the Sacred Blueprint system, along with, you know, there was a certain point before birthing the sacred blueprint that I decided that I wanted to quit architecture. And I did quit architecture. And then I started studying to become an alchemical energy healer. Well, I was doing the healing also while I was doing part-time architecture work, but it was kind of like, I'm done with this architecture work. And I was really just working to put money in the bank. So alchemical energy healing, I started to study this, practice it, and I trained to become a certified alchemical healer. And when I was connecting with my guides during the alchemical healing training, I remember receiving a message from the nature spirits telling me that I should not quit architecture and that it was my task to bridge spirit with form and create the architecture of the new earth. And I was not happy about that message. Not happy, didn't want to have anything to do with architects, didn't want to have anything to do with the architecture practice. Why? Because it depleted me so much. It depleted me. I was stressed. I was tired. I was tired from the overworking. And that's kind of like the one layer. But when we go one step deeper into the reason, and when I tune into the deeper reason, is because I felt extremely disconnected from my soul, but also from nature. I felt disconnected from spirit as well. And it didn't make sense to me to create architecture so divorced from nature, so divorced from spirit. While I worked with great teams and people who are, you know, were inspired by nature, they went out to nature and you know, this is not a black and white kind of statement. I worked with many beautiful architects who, you know, who could even probably have this conversation right now at this point. But there's something about the process of architecture that is just fundamentally not working anymore. Why? Because it causes way too excessive design, over design. It prevents it, well, it can increase all kinds of construction issues, permit problems, and basically a lack of flow of creative life force, lack of flow of creativity. Why? Because we are not co-creating with the spirit of the land. We're not co-creating with the land and fundamentally we're not accepting the land as a living being in the conventional architecture practice. You know, the indigenous wisdom in Canada, where I grew up in, they knew this, the indigenous communities. They knew that, you know, they knew to give, let's say, a tree 24, 48 hours notice before cutting it down. And they knew that they needed to communicate with the tree, ask the tree for permission before cutting it down, for example. Visioning quests, visioning journeys were done by, you know, the chief of the community, the healer of the community, as well as the, you know, together in group, in community, depending on, you know, the situation. So nature was honored and regarded as the great mother. You could also say the great spirit, but the great mother and the great spirit is a bit different. You know, the great spirit is more related to a higher consciousness in the cosmos. connected to the sun. So I was starting to see that there were big pieces of the puzzle missing in the architecture practice. Seeing how much time was wasted on generating all these design options, how much time is being wasted on over-efforting, over-pleasing clients. I mean, just the amount of doors we open to clients and then all the changes, the design changes, which cause so much loss of revenue in the company. I'm getting into the nitty gritty here, but just to zoom out, you know, big picture, we're not creating buildings with life force. We're not creating buildings that emanate a kind of love, a love frequency, a harmonious energetic that helps us heal our bodies as well as heal our relationships and bring us back home to our true selves. Bring us back home to our true selves. And so the Sacred Blueprint System is a model for what's possible when we partner with the spirit of the land. And not only with the spirit of the land, but also with our clients' souls. This is super important. So many clients that I've, you know, when we begin projects together, we start out, I mean, this is pre-Sacred Blueprint, you know, clients will come to the table with, you know, 100 different folders of Pinterest pictures, right? Clippings from magazines or, you know, already a floor plan drawn out. Okay, this is what I think we need to do for the property. And then just basically plop all that onto the architect, and the architect, you know, pastes everything together and tries to please the client. Now, some architects don't always work in that way, and they do want, you know, more creative freedom, right? License freedom of expression, and you know, they invite the client to step into a journey with them. There are architects that work like this. Some of them, though, tend to want to always impose their own style, their own architecture onto the project, which is also an issue, right? That's the other side of the scale where, you know, the ego of the architect starts to influence the project to the point where no one is being heard except the architect's fanciful visions, right? And certainly not the land, right? So I developed this modality where I guide my clients through a process where they deepen into their soul's purpose. They awaken their soul's purpose. And I guide them through a series of exercises that help them to extrapolate it, to write it out, to journal it, to get really clear on what matters most. To get really clear on, okay, is this vision... Well, I mean, I help them to birth the vision, but it is my impulse to create this home, this garden, this community, this spiritual center, this art studio, whatever the project is the impulse or motivation to create this place really coming from an authentic space in my soul? And is it really serving my soul? Or am I trying to squeeze in all these elements of the design or, you know, ideas of the project that are not mine? So, for example, I've seen a lot of clients where, you know, they think that they need to create a certain scale or size of house with X number of bedrooms and en suites and, you know, a certain type of kitchen or this or that, but they're really regurgitating what their parents want, you know, or what they think or what society tells them that they want, they need. And so it's really important to go within. The sacred blueprint is this first phase is like the winter, and the seed is germinating in the deep dark soil. And so there's a willingness on part of my clients. There should be it's required to having a willingness, an openness to jump into the unknown together, to allow for a blueprint to emerge without us having either the architect or the client knowing what's going to come out on the other side. So that this first phase of awakening your soul's purpose is like the winter. And I guide my clients through this sacred cycle, which begins in the north direction. I guide them through the four sacred directions. You know, the whole process is really like a sacred ritual, but it's modernized. It's modern for this day and age. It's not attempting to replicate any ancient practices or rituals, although there is probably some sprinklings and essences that help us remember how we used to commune with nature in the sacred blueprint. I mean, women, I tell you, I'm always discovering something new about the sacred blueprint, and it's teaching me so much. Really. And I'm going to be applying the sacred blueprint to a second round of design creations in my house, and we'll be up leveling the course through this process. I'm excited in the new year in 2025, I will be opening the doors for the first round for first cohort of students to try out this next level sacred blueprint course. So if you are interested in joining this self-study course, and I'm likely going to be sprinkling in some group calls or live webinars, something really to bring some live teachings into the mix. If you are interested, you can sign up below for the waiting list, and you'll be the first to know when the online course is available. And I'll be doing a big sale, a discount on this sacred blueprint 2.0 for a limited time in celebration of the birth of the next level of the course. So make sure you sign up for the waiting list down below the link. You'll see the link down there. So the second phase of the sacred blueprint invites the client to commune with the spirit of the land of their property of focus. Now, I have been guiding a couple clients through the sacred blueprint without a property. I have to say that there have been some challenges with that because it can be challenging to connect with the spirit of the land when there's, when there's no specific site. But I help them to really, we focus more on their intentions and deepening in their soul's purpose and helping them to really get clear on what is the quality of the kind of functions and spaces that they want to create. And once we have that established, it helps them to attract the land that is the most in most divine alignment for their mission and their vision. So but the sacred blueprint is written, transmitted more for predominantly for working with a specific property and designing a blueprint for that specific property. So the second phase of the sacred blueprint is we enter the east direction, and that's where we connect with the element of visioning, the element of air, actually. The elements are also part of this sacred process. And that's where you commune with the spirit of the land, you connect with the nature spirits and other, you know, it could be landscape devas, angels, who are all guiding the process. I help to create safe, solid energetic containers of support for this, for my clients. And I guide them through a couple visioning journeys that will help them to see what wants to emerge on the land. And sometimes in the visioning journey, we also notice where there may be blocks, where there could be some warnings from the land, where the land is hesitant to share. And what may be out of alignment on the property. So often this does show up as geopathic stress on the property. It can show up as, you know, perhaps there was, I don't know, like I've had worked with sites. Let me just rewind here. I've also mentored women architects who are working on sites that have experienced war, trauma. I personally have worked on sites where, you know, great spirits, indigenous, you could feel there was some kind of a sacred site for the indigenous peoples there that the indigenous needed to protect. There were great protector beings there. And so it required more ceremony, gratitude, healing processes. I don't know what shows up. I mean, I don't know what's going to come up. I don't have it all planned. So there's this opening up to the unknown. And that's really the feminine. That's really the feminine impulse, which is missing from architecture. The architecture practice, it's so masculine. It's so male dominated. It's so about focused on the outcome, outcome, outcome. And I know all the steps and I have control of everything. And there's not much opening up in general to the mystery. So we listen, we do deep listening together in that phase. And I invite my clients to, even outside of the visioning journeys that I guide them through, to really deeply listen to what is occurring in their space after, as a result of doing this visioning journey and establishing this sacred connection with the spirit of the land. In the first phase of the sacred blueprint, I also do help with establishing sacred containers to commune with these energies, safe containers, containers that are ethical, respectful, and ensuring that the right energies are invited in and entering into the creation process. So the second phase, you enter into a deep listening with the spirit of the land, and you allow and listen to what kind of synchronicities are starting to show up. I've had clients where nature spirits, physical in the 3D, come in and visit them and share them messages. I've had clients where, you know, there's they see a symbol in the snow, like marked as a, which like marks a sweet spot on the property. And there's some clue, key about that certain spot on the property that needs to unfold. I've had clients that see dreams, and so much more gets uncovered about their sacred blueprint in their dreams. I've worked with couples and individuals, and so it's interesting to listen to what occurs in each, you know, partner, right? How each and every one of them receive visions, in their own way, but it all contributes to the greater vision. And clients also start to understand where they need to deepen in their own personal healing and let go of old ways of being, old patterns, in order to be able to birth this sanctuary. I mean, one of the biggest obstacles that my clients have often is, okay, where am I going to get all the money to birth this big vision that I have? Where am I going to get the money? Where am I going to get the resources? Where will I find the right community members, the aligned team members to make this vision a reality? And so we pray, or we call in, rather, we invite in the nature spirits, the spirit of the land, Mother Earth, to come and help us, help my clients to manifest and attract the abundance that they need to birth their sanctuary. So this process is not only just to birth a blueprint, but it's a very transformational process for my clients. So they're birthing along with the blueprint. They are also birthing along with the land. Mother Earth is birthing right now. And each and every one of our properties, I think of my colleague, Nikki Kopmans, her company is Happy Holon. And she talks about how each space, each home, each property is a holon, a piece, right? I guess it's kind of related to fractals too, a holon of the greater whole. And our properties are directly related to the greater unfoldment, the greater shift that the earth is going through right now. And this shift is releasing us, matter, well, us from hardened physical matter. We're getting lighter. We're getting lighter. And as a result, able to naturally tap into energy, naturally have telepathic gifts, naturally we're our intuitions are increasing, and you're noticing these shifts in you as well. And these shifts may be showing up as illness, as hyperactivity, as energetic, like emotional blocks or excessive emotion. And it's a sign most probably that you really need to be stepping into the way that you need, that you're meant to create on this planet. I healed myself through the sacred blueprint. I'm not saying I'm 100% healed. This is a whole process, right? That will unfold throughout my whole life. And I have chronic illness has stopped because I am doing what I'm meant to be doing on this planet. And I'm speaking my truth and I'm creating in the way that I'm meant to be. This is for all of you women architects and designers who are really fed up with the grind and stress of conventional architecture and really feel the call, hearing the call from the deep waters within you to build in a totally new way and transform your life, heal your life, heal your body in the process. It takes a jump, it takes courage, and it's worth it. I help the clients that I work with to take this leap. You know, there's a bunch of steps and healing and letting go of old ways of being that need to happen in order to get into this space and place. So back to the sacred blueprint cycle. After we commune with the spirit of the land, I get my clients to draw what is called an intuitive map. And this is where we're at in the south direction in creation. This is right before we enter into the summer season in the cycle. And at this point in the cycle, this is like the halfway point of the cycle. This is where we do the first drawing. This is where my client does the first drawing. I have not picked up a pencil and put it to paper at all in the first two phases of the sacred blueprint. And this is in the way that I practice the sacred blueprint. This is like the first couple months, sometimes a month and a half. But generally I guide my clients through a three or four month program to birth a conceptual design bordering on schematic design. I always end up, adding more measurements and details to the site plans and the floor plans. So I would say it's a schematic level. That's the Canadian term for the phase. I don't know if that's the same in the US and Europe, but the stage after concept design. Anyway, this is super important. I do not ask for any photos, any sketches or ideas from my clients, no Pinterest photos, no Instagram photos, no magazine clippings, nothing. And I'm just trying to think, do I even ask for a map? Sometimes, but rarely, maybe just before the intuitive map, have I maybe glanced at a Google map of a property, but in general, nothing. We are tuning into the inner realm of my client's soul and the inner realm of the landscape. In order to do that, we need to go within and not depend on external sources, on the external world, external influences. So we design I guide my clients to creating an intuitive map of the vision that they received when they are communing with this, when they communed with the spirit of the land, when they partner with the spirit of the land. And so some of my clients are like, oh, I don't know how to draw. I don't know how to do this. Like, how am I going to, what, you want me to draw first? Right. And it's a lot of fun because it's ultimately, first, they're nervous about it, usually. Like, oh my God, this is going to look so shitty or whatever. Like, I can't draw a building or I can't draw, what I saw in my vision. And so step by step, I guide them through with the right questions and with the right guidance and instructions to create this intuitive map. And it's really beautiful to see just how strengthening and empowering it is for them, that they hold the reins to their own healing architecture process. And then we use that as a basis. If necessary, I take them through another vision and we do a little bit more intuitive map exercises, but generally that first map says a lot. Generally that first map says a lot. And when I say map and when I say intuitive map, this is a map that is not dependent on, or not, it doesn't have any dimensions to it. It's a sketch. It's almost like a child is drawing the drawing for their dream home or something like that. I do get it, encourage them to do it more planimetrically, like a map, right, from above. But sometimes some 3D stuff starts to pop up in it. So this is okay. You know, they're not architects, you know, for the architects and designers who are listening, you get, you know, it's okay. Like they don't need to do it perfectly. We can do that later, right? And so this becomes the basis for the conceptual design. And it also becomes the basis for gleaning more of what could be areas and zones on the property that need healing, need attention. Does some ceremony need to occur? Do we need to start to do some more like earth acupuncture for harmonizing geopathic stress on the property? Geopathic stress usually occurs from, let's say, toxic water lines or, EMF radiation, I guess, could be categorized there, but it's not really geopathic, more like fractures in the earth, earthquake lines under the earth, and water veins that are really like high yin, highly absorptive energy that deplete the human biological system, that deplete, you know, our bodies and make us ill. This is a topic that I would recommend that you work with a professional geomancer with. You know, it's important to also bring in some team members to, you know, to the project, to get, you know, all of that, doused properly. But, you know, when you work with me one-on-one, I do that also from a distance and help you with tools on how you can harmonize these locations or these water veins or geopathic stress. So this map gives the keys to creating an architecture also that is harmonizing. So sometimes you don't need to go around the site and try to fix all the quote unquote problems, energetic problems. The whole process of the sacred blueprint really helps to birth the most vibrationally aligned blueprint. And in that in itself becomes like a big acupuncture element on the property that harmonizes the whole site. So then it's my task as the architect in the last couple phases of the sacred blueprint to start to help my clients determine zones of the activities of their soul's purpose. So what does that mean? I guide them through a process in the first stage of the sacred blueprint to really get clear on like, what are the activities that are going to support your soul's purpose? What do you want to be doing? What do you want to be doing on this site? You know, how do you want to be eating? How do you want to be resting? Do you like meditating? So is meditating a number one activity for you? Is bathing out in a hot tub, you know, outdoors and while looking at the stars above an activity for you? I keep on using this activity. I think this is one that I need to incorporate into my life because I keep on using it as an example. And I'm looking out my studio window now and looking at like, oh, right. Yeah. I wanted this deck out there. Yeah. I've got to put this like jacuzzi or something out there, or maybe cold water plunge bucket, giant bucket out there. So what else? It could be leading community, like sacred circles. What else do you want to be doing? You know, making love to your partner in a really luscious, delicious, beautiful environment, cooking for your family. And so with these activities, if you notice, I have not used the word kitchen, bedroom, bathroom, living room. You know, these, as we grow and evolve, you know, these kinds of naming of rooms becomes a bit stagnant. Now, of course, there's a practicality. I mean, I've got a bathroom in my home. We've got a kitchen. But instead of starting in that more conventional way, I get my clients to really deepen in what are the kinds of activities that you want to be doing in your home. It could be gardening, right? Connecting with, you know, the fire outside. Maybe the fire is a big part of your life, or the hearth within your home. So I get, you know, them to, so in this third phase of the sacred blueprint, we start to zone out areas. Okay, well, where do you want your meditation area to be, right? Now, this process can work for an interior design for an existing building, and it can also work for like the master plan of a giant community. It doesn't matter. We're talking about zones of activities here, right? You can scale that down or increase, enlarge that scale. And then that helps us to really start to determine the flow paths, the areas that are more public, more private. And through the vision and the way that I guide my clients, they receive a vision for where the optimal entrance is. What side of the property is the entrance on? Where is the heart of the property, and what needs to occur, what needs to be designed at the heart of the place? Sometimes nothing needs to be designed. Sometimes it's like one big massive oak tree that's there, and you just leave the heart as it is. Or the heart needs tending, it needs care, it turns into a big public space. Or is the heart the hearth of the home? My home is the hearth. It's at the center of the stair. Now, there are other power spots and sweet spots on my property, but that's one example of the heart of our home. So then once we're working in this planimetric way, I also do some land visioning on my own to really deepen into with my guides as well as the guides of the project to really deepen in the energetics of the site. So I do telepathic journeying, as well as deepening in what this blueprint, how it needs to be shaped and formed. And then in the last phase, we form the blueprint. And this is once we reach the direction west, and we go back into the cycle of fall, representing fall. And that's where the fruit emerges. That's when the harvest occurs. And that is the harvest of the blueprint, the fruit of the blueprint. And so this is when the concept design emerges. And I often will create a few 3D sketches, hand sketches. I still do hand drawing a lot. And a floor plan, a couple floor plans, and a site plan to help my clients then with the next steps of project development. And this is a really, really beautiful way of beginning a project, because it sets into motion a beginning. Yeah, I guess it's a beginning. It's more than just a beginning. I mean, you establish the whole, you know, the optimal blueprint, the design of the project. But of course, you know, in order to build a project, there's still some phases afterwards that need to occur before, you know, your foundations start getting built. This is a beautiful way of doing the first phase of design to ensure that the rest of the project will move with flow and ease. I'm not claiming that the entire process is going to be rainbows and butterflies for everyone. You know, this is a process of unfolding, a process of healing, a process of discovery. And I would say that the sacred blueprint equips my clients with the right tools to be able to deeply listen to the spaces in between, deeply listen for synchronicities, deeply listen and be able to use their own intuition to make the right decisions for the project. So they may be hit with a lot of challenges, but to know like, aha, okay, maybe I still need to work on this part of the property, or I still need to work on something deep within me. I need to work on this relationship with this other person. And to continue. So this is not just like, okay, we did it. I'm just going to make a funny statement here, but like, we feng shuied your home and that's it. You don't need to do any more, right? Magic happened and it's done. No, this is an invitation for a new way of walking with the land, a new way of being with the land, a new way of communicating with the land and your soul. And so I make recommendations to incorporate ceremony and ritual into a monthly, a seasonal or a yearly practice on the land. I need to be doing that often. Or I'm still in the middle of a construction site now. Thankfully we have heat and hot water and, you know, our kitchen's in place and we're able to live here. Our laundry machine is connected now. But there are still some elements that need to be built, like millwork, closets, my studio door, like really need to get that door done. That's coming. I'm excited to share, the design for the door with all of you. So this requires me to keep up my communication with the spirit of place, so that I get help. We can't do this work alone. We cannot do this work alone. And when we invite in the nature spirits, Mother Earth, to co-create with us, and we give them gratitude and thanks, then they help us as well. And, you know, I don't want to make this seem like, oh, okay, well, we always have to get something out of them, get something out of Mother Earth, get something out of nature spirits. This would be then missing the whole point too, because that's what we've been doing to this earth for so long. We've been extrapolating resources from the earth and depleting her, right? We've been overbuilding. We've been not listening to her pulse. We have not been listening to the signs from nature. I mean, the earthquake in Turkey is such a good example of that. And, you know, it was the towns where the cities where one of the major earthquake just recently happened were overbuilt, and the construction was not strong enough to keep those buildings up. And so the sacred blueprint really is an invitation to bring the love back, right? Really loving nature and saying thanks, giving gratitude to all that she's done, all that she provides and continues to provide, even in the middle of a war zone. That apple tree still blossoms. It's just the most beautiful, beautiful, magical thing. And we don't need any kind of technology or anything to make that apple tree grow. It grows, it blossoms. So to bring that genuine gratitude, that genuine love back to the architecture practice is one of the aspects of the sacred blueprint. And it's really fun to watch what kinds of blueprints get birthed through my clients, as well as my mentors, clients, or mentees, clients. I'm the mentor. And I'm excited for the Sacred Blueprint 2.0. So make sure you sign up to be on the waiting list for to receive the message for when the doors open. And I'm excited for you to join the course if you are interested in applying it to your own projects. And you also, if you want a taste of the Sacred Blueprint System, I've got the 7 steps to mapping the vision for your dream sanctuary. That's a free guide that is a combination of a PDF exercises as well as 8 video tutorials that you receive on a daily basis in your email, in your inbox, and that will guide you through a overview of the Sacred Blueprint System as well. So you can have a taste of it with that free guide. So the link is down below. And Ephesus. We are gathering in May 2025. The application link is below. This is for the ancient temple builders of the future, the women who are hearing the call to totally transform the way they practice architecture, aligned with spirit, aligned with their divine calling. And we're going to co-create magic at one of the biggest power places in the world, which is Ephesus. Yay! All right. Thanks for joining today's episode, and look forward to connecting with you again next time. Bye-bye.